Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to our Action Research Podcast, created by the HEAR Lab team at the University of Houston. The HEAR Lab is the hub for engaged action research, and the mission of the lab is to build the capacity of scholars to create and disseminate collaborative, accessible, anti-racist research that centers community and fuels social change. Through hosting different activities such as walk and learns, webinars, or disseminating one-page research briefs, the team hopes to amplify research beyond articles and connect scholars to one another. Research should be done to create an impact. And by hosting this podcast, the hope is to have more awareness around anti-racist research approaches, as well as seeing how research goes beyond articles to connect to practice and policy. On today's episode, we will hear from the AAPI Civic Engagement Team with two youth experts who have focused specifically on understanding why Asian American and Pacific Islander youth get involved or don't get involved with their communities. The research team has explored the experiences of AAPI teenagers by using community-engaged focus group conversations to listen to the person's background and collect rich, thick data from their own unique perspectives. This process has allowed the team to build knowledge about how AAPI teenagers across diverse ethnicities experience civic engagement and what they perceive as barriers and supports to their civic activities. You're listening to your host, Anil Arora, and today we welcome Selena, who is a second-generation Chinese-American with strong community values. Selena is a current senior at Cypress Ranch High School who is passionate about social justice. Our next guest is Ziad, a senior at Audi International High School in Houston. Ziad is also part of the team looking to reduce civic inequality by being a youth expert at the University of Houston Graduate College of Social Work. Our third guest here with us is Carl, an MSW student at the GCSW. Carl understands the importance of recognizing how different layers of one's identity and environment can impact a person. In August 2021, she returned to Houston to pursue an MSW at the GCSW and work to create policies of community care in her beloved hometown. Our final guest is Dr. Suzanne Pritzker, Associate Professor of Social Work at the University of Houston. As a social work practitioner and as a researcher, she focuses on supporting civic engagement and reducing structural barriers that impede people's ability to participate in policy decision-making that impacts their lives. Dr. Pritzker is the author of a book entitled Political Social Work, Seeing Power to Create Social Change. Thank you all for joining us. Let's begin with you, Carl. Briefly share with us and our listeners why it's important to understand the motivators and barriers behind civic engagements with Asian youth and how this contributes to social justice.
I can quickly jump in, and then I would really love for Ziad and Selena and Dr. P to add, but I think that the nature of why it's important is that Asian immigrants are, and Asian Americans are, like the largest growing population here in the country. And yet, countless times in research, there is nary a focus on Asians as a population, as a percentage. And so the fact that this research is being done in and of itself is really exciting. And then the fact that it's being done in a way that is disaggregating of the data in a way that doesn't treat Asians as a monolith, but instead acknowledges that it's a really diverse population of people with all sorts of different ethnicities, religions, cultures, and backgrounds, and their relationship to civic engagement will be informed by those backgrounds in a way that is both distinct, but also can be grouped together under the broader category of what limitations Asians specifically experience, I think is really important. And then the second piece of how it contributes to social justice is just the fact that you can't change the world if you don't have a way to engage with the world. And so if Asian teens don't have the resources, opportunities, knowledge, and awareness, mentorship to plug into their communities, then they're siloed off and unable to impact the world that they live in and the world that they're impacted by. And so studying how to get them to that level of civic engagement and what that civic engagement looks like for them is an essential aspect of social justice.
And so to add some context to this, actually, the study originated through a partnership with Debbie Chen at OCA Greater Houston, which is an organization in the Houston area that works, that focuses on expanding civic engagement among AAPI communities. And one of the things that Debbie and I discussed initially in really thinking about this study was how little, as Kara was talking about, how little research there is on civic engagement among Asian youth, that everything is so, the research that often, because Asian youth in specific communities have been a smaller population, they're not included in research at all, or kind of in the other or something, right? And there isn't this deep examination of what does civic engagement look like, what motivates civic engagement, what gets in the way of civic engagement. And so organizations that are looking to expand civic engagement among Asian youth to help support it didn't have a research base to look to. And that was then getting in the way of being able to do effective outreach work, to do really targeted, focused outreach work. And that, you know, as Asian American communities are expanding so are deeply expanding in the United States, that really makes Asian youth the fastest growing eligible voting population, right? And so therefore really being able to understand what are motivators, what are barriers, and then be able to target those is really critical to making sure that Asian voices are heard in the political arena.
For me, it was definitely looking at it from a more holistic point of view, similar to what Dr. Pritzker said regarding the idea of how this enables greater participation within the AAPI youth community when they are going to become voters. I definitely think that just by definition, AAPI are Americans. So they should be partaking in democratic processes, such as voting, such as volunteering, etc. And so if these partner organizations can use the research to create further engagement, then it's critical that this research to truly understand the best ways to go about creating engagement is done.
I think this is why it's so important to talk about these processes and these research projects. As talking about Dr. Pritzker, this is not something that the research university just created. It was partnership with community organizations and co-created with hierarchy experts. And this is not just one person decides what research to do and this is how we should do it. So I'm really excited to have you all here and talk about why this is important. Could you all also share how this research contributes to social justice?
Personally, as an AAPI youth and as a youth advocate, I think it contributes to social justice in a way that, well, one, it's really great because adults are actually, they want to know what AAPI youth feel about civic engagement. They want to know how they can help, which is a first step, because usually a lot of teens, we don't get a chance to share our voices nevertheless, or have it be taken into consideration by a lot of adults and actually have resources. So I think one, it's a really good way for adults to learn how they can help and see a real change amongst the youth. Usually we see a lot of problems in our community, but we're not sure how to go about it. So if we had the resources, if we learned that we had these resources, I think it would motivate a lot more teens to actually be more involved in their communities.
And to piggyback off of that, I know personally, and it seems like this was the general idea within the focus groups, that it wasn't like my peers and other AAPI youth aren't helping people because they're apathetic towards whatever might be happening. It's because they either lack the resources, the guidance, or just don't know how to go about like actually addressing the issue. And so this research helps, again, the partner organizations figure out the best ways to give them the resources or whatever they need in order to create change. And as like one of the fastest growing groups in America right now, I think it'll help bring a new perspective once like this youth generation moves into kind of the working world or the political realms where we can now solve issues maybe in ways we didn't expect before.
And thank you all for sharing that. It's wonderful to hear. How do we also see this research affecting or influencing policy or legislation?
So I do want to, I think, acknowledge that we're still in the middle of this research process. So we have completed all the focus groups with AAPI youth in the Greater Houston community that our youth experts facilitated. And we're now in the process of beginning to analyze that data and see what we find. So it's a little bit hard to predict influences on policy at this stage. But one of the things that we actually built into the study design is working with the youth expert team, who really have been integral throughout the research process, from designing the focus group questions to conducting to recruiting for focus groups, to conducting focus groups, to doing some initial work on data analysis, that ultimately, as we move forward in the project, we actually have built in policy advocacy trainings into the design, so that we can work with the youth experts and help really build capacity to influence policy based on what emerges from the findings. So we don't fully know the specifics of what kinds of policy recommendations may emerge, but I think we anticipate that they will, as we're asking questions and engaging in conversations about some of the ways in which sort of the structures around AAPI youth act as barriers. And then, so what might we need to change? So I think that's something that we're anticipating, but may not be able to have all the specifics now, but are hopeful that some of the things that have emerged in the focus group, some of the conversations around the ways that both sort of close by structures like schools, but also sort of larger, you know, media conversations, et cetera, can be shifted in order to create a more welcoming environment for civic engagement among AAPI youth.
So, and Dr. P, stop me if this maybe gets too specific, because we don't want to do the thing where we jump the gun and make assumptions based on, you know, what we've heard without actually analyzing the data. But I think an example of how specifically Asians can be both represented and active in policy change based on work like this is the fact that there's a huge debate that's been happening for the past year in the Texas State Board of Education about incorporating Asian American studies into school curriculum, right? And something that could come of this kind of work on civic engagement and civic outreach and civic involvement is the role that Asian students could play in that kind of advocacy work. But we would first need to know how to get to those students and what's stopping them from being involved in that space. And so I think that that's perhaps a more tangible example of what that policy involvement could look like, but we don't know until we get into the nitty gritty. I think something that I really want to flag that's not a policy change that this study can implement, but a practice change that is happening in the way that this study has been built and what I know drew me to it, is the very thoughtful way that this has been community-centered, I think is really significant. I think universities have a history of speaking on behalf of communities and not to communities, that universities have a history of saviorism in typically marginalized spaces and with marginalized people, and that this study has done a really good job, not only with the partnership that began with OCAGH, but incorporating 5 other community partners who are representative of significant Asian populations here in Houston, and partnering with them to make this community centered.
And I hear the team in terms of, Anil, we're still in the middle of this research. We don't have all the results as of yet, and we don't want to jump the gun. Why we're on here talking about this is because research is a process. It can't just be a one day we collect information and here's your results, especially when we take the time to hear a focus group or hear individuals share their stories. You all have conducted 33 focus groups. And how can we then take this to go back to what you're saying, Caro, and this has been community-centered. And so how does this research demonstrate an anti-racist approach?
Yeah, I think I really want to big up Dr. Pri for this. And I want Ziad and Selena to get to share their experiences as Asian teens talking to their peers and how that in and of itself is a revolutionary practice, right? To like center young people talking to other young people. So I want to make sure that they get the chance to share that experience. But something that I've told everyone that I know, but hopefully can now share with more people listening to this podcast, is the ways in which Dr. Pritzker made sure that she recognized her positionality as a white woman doing this research while like ensuring that all the co-researchers on the university side are Asian and from different backgrounds and different Asian ethnicities, because again, we aren't a monolith. And then every youth expert was recruited in partnership with our six community partners to actually come from these communities that are representative of significant Asian populations in Houston. So we have Vietnamese youth experts, we have Chinese youth experts, we have Pakistani youth experts and Indian youth experts and Korean youth experts and Filipino youth experts. We have folks that are speaking to what the demographics of Houston look like, which we don't always see when we talk about who's in power and who has the mic. And something that I think about all the time is that in my interview with Dr. P to get on this project, she asked me like, hey, I might not always have the cultural awareness over some of the stuff that we're talking about. And would you feel comfortable, you know, checking me on that or calling me in on that? And I think about that question all the time, because to not only acknowledge your power and your privilege, but then to figure out how you can call someone into a space and platform their experiences, their context, their perspective, I don't think happens all that often. And I hope that it keeps happening. And I hope that this community-based research is a model and an inspiration for future university efforts as people realize that this can be done in a way that is authentic and in a way that is grassroots, which I think that this study really is. And nothing makes that more true than the fact that the youth experts are all Asian teens in Houston experiencing what it's like to have civic engagement barriers and opportunities themselves.
And it's special to have our youth experts here with us. I would love to hear from either of you in your process.
Yeah, definitely. So upon our first meeting, everyone was really diverse and like everyone was from different backgrounds, which is really nice. While conducting my own focus group personally, I also wanted to continue making sure that I'm inclusive of everyone. And it's really interesting because even though everyone is from different backgrounds, we all share a same consensus that is feeling unrepresented, whether it be in the classroom, whether it just be at home and like you can't actually speak to some people about problems that are happening in your community, like let's say parents, and you would rather share with friends who are the same age group as you. There was all the focus groups during the discussion, they all kind of diverged down a different path and they all went into different conversations, but they all ended up in the same place, which I found really interesting.
For me personally, I really enjoyed how, like, this idea of Asian Americans are not a monolith has continued throughout this entire research process. At basically every step, there's been effort to distinguish that, yes, these are very different cultures within the general Asian American population, and treating them as such, noting that the issues of, say, like Pakistanis aren't the same as someone from South Korea. And I think that will go a long way to like help these partner organizations create that sense of like effective contribution towards getting people to engage. And I have had the opportunity to do focus groups with people who aren't strictly Pakistani or South Asian. And I think it's fascinating to see how, while there is still that cultural difference, like Selena said, there still tends to be this consensus of underrepresentation within our communities, the media, etc.
And it's fantastic to hear all of you share, because when I asked this question about anti-racist approaches and dissemination of research, each of you were really big on there are individuals that are not being represented. And we're highlighting in this process that not one group, that especially our AAPI individuals, are not a monolith. And then we recognize differences, and through having diverse individuals and being inclusive, we can have authentic community-based grassroots conversations that lead to change, that lead to opportunities for youth experts to be researchers while also creating change in their community. And I think this goes to our last question today is, what are action steps? I know you all are still in the process of conducting this research and staying close to the data. So what can people take away? What should action steps be after hearing about the work that you all do?
For one, I hope, and I still think it's really great that the research study essentially is focused around youth and getting our voices out. So I hope that after people hear about this study, see what we have to share, that they actually take it into consideration, realize that what they might have felt in the past, maybe not feeling represented, it still is present in our generation as well. And that there still is so much to be done, as well as realizing that there are power in numbers and that they should also get involved with their communities. Go find or research for some organizations in their area that are centered around community engagement, AAPI engagement, Dear Asian Youth, yeah, Dear Asian Youth. And I hope that from that, we can actually have a greater contribution to our society and actually create bigger change with larger amounts of people.
And personally, one of my hopes is that people look at this research and apply it to a broader, I hope this research creates broader discussion about barriers to civic engagement, not just within Asian youth, but within adults and other racial groups. I think a lot of what this specific project does well is open up these conversations in ways that we haven't thought before through the youth experts, through some of the practices revolving consent. Just to elaborate a little bit on that, Dr. Pritzker and the rest of the team tried to make it such that like the youths themselves had initiative within like the consent process by essentially them opting in and their parents opting out versus the traditional parents opt in. And I really hope that this can be applied to other groups who feel underrepresented, so we can find new ways to tackle issues throughout basically, in a very idealistic sense, every minority group, and make it so that everyone is fairly represented in like American democracy and beyond.
Yeah, I think that what Ziad and Selena are both saying is the thing that I love most about this study as like a former Asian youth in Houston who wanted to be civically engaged, is that I don't think I felt like I had a lot of outlets for my voice outside of a club in high school, which isn't to say that clubs in high school aren't important and powerful, but I didn't think anyone was listening outside of those spaces. And I think that this research study and something that we actually heard from a number of the focus group participants was that it was nice to have a forum in which people wanted to hear what you were saying. And from, I think, a traditional institution, right? I think that young people have found innovative ways of getting their voice and their opinion out there, especially through social media. But to have academia also say, hey, we care about what you think, and we want to know what would change for you and what you would like to see change, I think is really powerful. And I hope that this research study is something that has empowered people to know that their voice does matter, and to know that their opinion matters, to know that their experiences matter, and that they deserve to get to bring them into all spaces, not just the ones where they've sort of been pigeonholed as young people. I mean, I can't get over the fact that Ziad and Selena are teenagers who have done incredible work. I mean, really impressive, you know, quality work. And that's not because they're not incredible. They are, but like, a lot of teenagers are. They just deserve the opportunity to get to be incredible.
Thank you all for being here today. And as we sign off, I want to share how special our time together has been. I look forward to hearing how the team shares the results from this study as you all take the time to analyze it. The HearLab team is here to connect with scholars and community to amplify voices in research. We look forward to connecting with listeners through their reflection and conversation. If you see public impact scholarship occurring in your community, tag us. Let us know. Stay in touch or share your thoughts by tagging us on Twitter at GCSWHearLab. Rate our show, leave us a review, and subscribe so you can learn about all things HearLab and can cultivate change in research procedures, policy, and impact practice. This is your host, Anil Arora, signing off, living the dream.